Blog Talk Radio.
I may be a soldier, I'll stand up for you. When your world comes crashing down, I'll be the one to hold you. Let me be a soldier, I'll fight for you. When you're up against the wall, I will pull you through.
South Florida Connects provides straight spouse awareness support.
Have you found out that you're a straight spouse? Are you worried about what that means for you and your family now? South Florida Connects is here for you. We are a local Miramar nonprofit outreach and advocacy organization that provides straight spouse awareness support to men and women who need help to deal with the devastating realization that their spouse or significant other is secretly gay. If you suspect, are found out by admission or incriminating evidence that your spouse, the father or mother of your children, your life partner, your significant other is gay, and you need help handling this devastating information, we are here for you. We understand how difficult and debilitating this can be. Here at South Florida Connects, we believe no straight spouse should be left behind. Visit us at our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. Or call our support hotline at 954-983-9751. That's 954-983-9751. And leave us a message with your contact information, and our peer support specialist will contact you. Or you can email us at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com to share the details and say what help you need. You can be anonymous, as we do not need to know your name to help you. Call us if you want to have a seminar or support group meeting at your church, business, or organization. Turn to South Florida Connects for straight spouse awareness, as no straight spouse should be left behind. Go to southfloridaconnects.com for more information.
Let me be a soldier, I'll die for you.
Hello and welcome to Spring Spouse Awareness with South Florida Connect. I am Debbie Thomas Bonner, and this evening I want to talk to you about straight spouse definition and self-worth. The World Book Dictionary defines self-esteem as thinking well of oneself, self-respect. So, what is self-worth? It also defines self-worth as a favorable estimate of our opinion of oneself. The dictionary recognizes the distinction in concept. However, it does not recognize the distinction in meaning. I view self-worth as a measure of the availability of our spirit or being to believe in ourselves. Self-worth comes from a source on the inside of us. We create it through faith by acting on the singular belief that we matter. Self-worth is the foundation of our ability to believe in ourselves. And so many straight spouses have a problem believing in themselves because we have been damaged in a way that is unimaginable. And so, some people have a problem believing in themselves. Because self-worth is the portal through which self-esteem is received. Self-worth and self-esteem are vital beliefs for empowering oneself. A valid sense of self-worth is necessary in order to attain love, joy, power, and a sound mind. A valid sense of self-worth precludes the possibility of committing suicide, because so many straight spouses who commit suicide or think about committing suicide to because they don't have that self-worth, that self-esteem. Because without self-worth, doubts and fears about our very existence will persist until they invalidate our dreams and visions and undermine our greatest accomplishments. How do you feel about yourself right now at this moment? Is it good or bad? How do you feel about yourself? Seriously. How you feel about yourself is just a feeling. It is your perception of how you are doing in the world. Self-esteem may go up or down depending upon what is happening to you. Get an A on a test and you feel great. But you fail, you feel terrible. You and your husband are having a wonderful time and everybody's saying, oh, you're such a wonderful couple. You feel great. And then find out that your husband has been cheating on you with men. Now, that is a self-esteem factor. Because self-esteem is changeable. Now, your self-worth differs from your self-esteem. Self-worth is what you are born with. As one of the creations of the universe, you are a worthwhile being and you have value, which cannot be taken from you. However, you can lose it. You can't lose it, but you can lose sight of it. You can forget your value. And those of you who are straight spouses listening to me right now, you know what I'm talking about. You can lose your value. How does that happen? How can you forget your value? How does that happen? Can you think about that for a moment? What has been happening in your life that makes you forget your value? Now, when you love, you know, you love your neighbor. I'm talking about your gay spouse. I don't want to use the word neighbor. Because we're always hearing about love your neighbor as yourself. Who do you love? Yourself or your neighbor more? Which one? Who do you love first? Who do you love and value first? Is it your neighbor or yourself? And because I'm talking to straight spouses, is it your gay spouse or yourself you love and value first? Many people think it begins with the neighbor. Or in your case, you think that you should love your straight spouse, your gay spouse, because the more you love him, the more he might change, right? Because you focus on your gay spouse so exclusively that you neglect yourself. In the straight spouse situation, how many of you find that you focus on the needs of your gay spouse while neglecting yours? You give and you give to your gay spouse until you give out and then collapse in a depression. Nothing depreciates self-worth faster than regret, anger, or fear. Because right about now, some of you are regretting, you're angry, and you're fearful. You're regretting that you didn't pay attention to the clues, the signs. You're angry that he fooled you for so long and he had the nerve to deceive you. And you're fearful that you don't know what life holds for you in the future. Or some of you are fearful that you might have an STD that's life-threatening. Many of us were taught to focus on our spouse and not on ourselves. As children, we are taught how to not to brag or be selfish. While as teenagers, wanting to be accepted, we may have minimized our own accomplishments to avoid appearing conceited. As adults, we may have developed a false humility to avoid looking prideful. We may come to not like ourselves and believe that we don't deserve anything good. Self-esteem suffers while self-worth is from God. The reality is that loving your spouse as yourself begins with you. You must love and value yourself if you are to love others. You have to respect yourself and acknowledge your own self-worth. You must take care of yourself so that you can love and help your neighbor. Does this make you selfish? No. It makes you responsible. Not only were we taught to be victims of people, places, and things, we were taught to be victims of ourselves, of our own humanity. We were conditioned to take our ego strength, our self-definition from external manifestations of our being. Looks deteriorate, talent dissipate, intelligence erode. If we define ourselves by these external manifestations, then we will be victimized by the power we give them. We will hate ourselves for being human and aged. Are you following with me here? Looks, talent, intelligence, external manifestations of our being are gifts to be celebrated. They are temporary gifts. They are not our total being. They do not define us or dictate if we have worth. We were taught to do it backwards, to take our self-definition and self-worth from temporary illusions outside of or external to ourselves. It does not work. It is very dysfunctional. And that is one of the reasons why so many straight spouses right now find out about the gay thing and you are dying because you are looking for your validation from outside of you and your work from outside of you. Many of you place your happiness in the hands of your husband, in the hands of your spouse, and now they have. You know, whatever was going on wasn't real, so no, whatever was holding you up, whatever you're holding on to, everything falls apart. So now your self-worth, your self-esteem, everything fell apart. So, do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, as I said earlier, that is codependent. And codependence could more accurately be called outer or external dependence. Outside influences, people, places, and things, money, property, and prestige. Are you getting this? Because so many of you are holding on to the marriage that is no longer a marriage because of people, places, things, money, property, and prestige. Because that's what you think makes you who you are. Or all those external manifestations, your looks, your talent, the intelligence, they cannot fill the hole within you. Those of you who walk away from all of that, and now you're so happy and content, you know what I'm talking about. Because those things can distract us and make us feel better temporarily, but they cannot address the core issue. They cannot fulfill a spiritual. Things can give us ego strength, but they cannot give us self-worth. Do you see what depending on the validation of others can do to you, especially if it is not forthcoming? Because some of you have gay spouses who barely notice that way. You change your hair, you lose weight, you start to dress differently. They don't even know. What validation can you get from that? True self-worth does not come from temporary conditions. True self-worth comes from accepting the eternal truth within, from remembering the state of grace that is our true condition. No one outside of you can define for you what your truth is. Nothing outside of you can bring you true fulfillment. You can only be fully fulfilled by accepting the transcendent truths that already exist within you. So, for those of you who say, oh, my husband doesn't make me happy, my spouse doesn't make me happy, have wash. Your happiness is inside of you. It does not come from somebody else. Accepting your own truth is remembering, it is following your own path, it is finding your place. Codependence does not work, it is dysfunctional, it is backwards. Independence is the answer. And now you have a chance to be independent. Looking outside of ourselves for self-definition and self-worth means that we have to judge people in order to feel good about ourselves. There is no other way to do it when you look outside. Each individual is unique and different and special, and we are all made from the same thing. We are all cut from the same cloth. When we start looking within and celebrating the truth of who we truly are, then we can celebrate our unique differences instead of judging them out of fear. Oftentimes, straight spouses have little or no self-esteem. Knowing that your spouse is gay can be very damaging to your self-esteem. There are many things that can lead to low self-esteem. For starters, our culture already promotes the essence of a woman to be unrealistic. Then add a gay spouse to the mix. It spells for disaster in the self-esteem department. So as a straight spouse, how can you rebuild your self-esteem? Thankfully, there are many things to rebuild your self-esteem. Many ways, self-love, confidence, etc. First of all, start with the basics. The basics can be any form of self-nurturing practice. Some good self-nurturing habits can be like taking time, taking a few minutes to just meditate, deep breathe, take cleansing breath, express your feelings by writing a journal, creating positive affirmation of yourself, writing poetry, affirmative poetry, take a walk in nature, breathe the fresh air, exercise, eat wholesome food, drink lots of water, try a new hairstyle. Try to wear new design clothing. You know, get healthy. Lose weight, feel great. Oftentimes, we forget our basic needs while living in the jungle of life. And this is true for me. This is true for me too. I'm not just talking to you. I'm taking this for myself too. Because remember, I'm a straight spouse, and I'm doing this journey along with you, right along with you. It is especially important to practice self-love and self-nurture while navigating through your gay straight relationship. The more you take care of yourself, the faster your confidence, your self-esteem, and your self-love will grow. So take time for yourself. You are worthy of self-care and self-love. Do something for yourself today. I want you to understand the power of your attitude toward yourself and read about yourself. How you perceive yourself, how you talk about yourself, and how you represent yourself eventually become the reality for you. And if it happens that you're putting yourself down, belittling your worth, and making light of your talents in the face of others, then you will come across as self-effacing, low in self-esteem, and almost a part of the wallpaper. People won't respect you or your work, or your work. This is not humility. It's self-denial and an attempt to lessen your presence. On the other hand, if you exaggerate your qualities, talents, and skills, you'll come across as egotistical and arrogant, but oddly enough, this is not about overestimating your self-worth, but about deceiving yourself through insecurity. there is a middle pathway.
And it is the one in which you recognize and celebrate the fact that you are a valuable person, equal to everyone else, and that your talents and thoughts are unique and worthy. Getting to this belief can be difficult if you have spent years underestimating your worth due to the many put-downs from your gay spouse. Because he devalues you as a woman and as a person, does that mean that you are less than? If you have that mindset, it is always possible to change your thoughts and to learn to value yourself. Real self-worth is entirely internal. It's realizing the true source of your usefulness and your value. So, learn to overcome a fear of self-love. How do you do that? It is also mired in the confusion people feel about the messages to do good for others, to always be charitable, and to give of oneself. You've been giving for years to your gay spouse. What did that get you? While these are noble intentions, they can often be taken out of proportion and used to downplay putting one's own needs and wants to meet those of others out of fear of being perceived as selfish or inward-looking. Again, this is about getting the balance right. Healthy self-love is about being your own best friend. Self-love is expressed not through painting oneself all day and constantly announcing how great you are. Those are signs of intense insecurity, if you know what I mean. Rather, self-love is about treating yourself with the same care, tolerance, generosity, and compassion as you would treat a special friend. Treat yourself with care, compassion, and respect. Avoid overlaying how you think other people see you. How does it help you to capitulate to their idea of you? Only you can give yourself the esteem boost needed. Self-love falters when you fall into the realm of addiction. Some of us are facing some addictive behaviors. Alcoholism, drug addiction, addiction to your gay ex, and the codependency that develops over the years. And all similar addictions are a sign that you are hurting deeply, but also that you don't want to face up to the opportunities presented by working through your pain. Think about that. If you're addicted to alcohol or you're addicted to drugs, since you found out about this gay thing, think about why you are using those things as a crutch. I'm going to do some fuck talking, right? Why are you using alcohol or drugs as a crutch? Your power is inside of you. Don't give it away. Trust your own feelings. Self-worth requires that you learn to listen and rely upon your own feelings and not automatically respond to the feelings of other people. So if somebody asks you, how did you make your husband gay? Don't let that make you lock up in the house and don't want to face it. Come on. Once those around you establish that you will respond to what they want, they lack any incentive to not make use of your responsiveness. And that's just a bind for you that can be hard to break. But break it, you must. You gotta face the music. When you trust your own feelings, you will realize that when demands are placed upon you, you don't feel great, and you will want to respond with what works better for you, with what works better for you, or for both of you, rather than what works better for everyone else except you. Do you know what I'm saying? Self-worth plummets when we let others make decisions for us. Yeah. We did not get to make an informed decision when we went into this relationship with this secret person. So that is why we ourselves were traumatized after we found out, because we allowed somebody else to make a decision for us. Not that we had a choice at the moment, because we didn't really know. So initially, this may seem like the easy route and one that allows you to avoid all choices when you allow other people to make decisions for you. But ultimately, though, it turns into the hard route, because you will always find yourself boxed in by what other people decide for you. And then suddenly, if the people who make decisions for you disappear from your life, you're going to be left alone and indecisive. That is a very earth-shattering place to end up, and it's more likely than not to happen if you are not prepared to make decisions for yourself. For some of you, this has already happened to you. But for those of you who have not happened to yet, analyze yourself. Many of us live in a culture that is very fond of going to see someone else to analyze us. I don't have anything against psychotherapy. I don't have anything against it. But some of us need to analyze ourselves first before we go ask somebody else to do that. Unless you've got a serious disorder, like clinical depression, garden variety uncertainty and lack of purpose doesn't need analysis by someone else. It needs analysis by ourselves so that we can clearly recognize where we are underestimating ourselves and shortchanging ourselves. Okay, here are some questions for you to consider for your self-analysis. What experience do I have? How has this experience informed my growth? What are my talents? Try to list at least 5. If you want to write this down, you can go back and list this and write this down. Next question. What are my skills? Remember that talents are innate. Skills need to be worked on to perfect them. What are my strengths? Stop focusing on your weaknesses. You've probably done that long enough. So start looking at what your strengths are and start thinking about how you can make the most of them in the things you choose to do from now on going forward. Because you need your strengths now while you go through the same path of recovery. Your weaknesses won't help you, so you need to zero in on your strengths. What do I do? What do I want to be doing with my life? Can I do it? If not, why not? Am I happy with my health? If not, why not? And what can I do to move into wellness instead of living in sickness? What makes me feel fulfilled? Am I working on that? Or am I busy working on other people's fulfillment? No, this is a major one. This is a big one. Let me repeat it. What makes me feel fulfilled? Am I working on that? Or am I busy working on other people's fulfillment? This is major. So stop making your self-worth conditional on other people. Once you try to live up to an image of what you think others want you to be, you lose self-worth. Instead, you are following a compass set by other people's expectations, whether or not those expectations are clearly defined or implied. Unfortunately, many people live this way, including making such choices as studies, career, where to live, and how many children to have, all based on expectations of parents, spouses, friends, and the media, and mostly because they are afraid of standing up for their own preferences and respecting their self-worth. Be very wary of listening too much to people who regret the choices that they made in life and are willing to inflict their distress or anger at this regret upon others, especially upon the next generation. Such people won't enlighten you as to the path of acting on your self-worth, but will try to either live out what they didn't get through you or even expect you to have the same rotten experiences they had by giving poor information, incorrect details, or simply omitting to inform you at all. I know some of you have had that happen to you. People with healthy self-worth will share their insights and learning with you and will be willing to guide you around life's many traps. Look for those people to mentor you rather than being misguided by the unhappy people. During this difficult, uncertain time in your life as a spouse, you need affirmation and validation, but seek it from honest, caring individuals who want to help celebrate you. Tell yourself that you matter. Realistic self-pep talks are great, and affirming yourself or openly to yourself can be a very good way to start changing the internal negative seed that you might have developed over time. Make set times during the day to remind yourself that you are a great person. Tell yourself you are special, wonderful, lovable, and loved. Yeah, you may not be loved by your spouse, by your gay spouse, but look at all the people around you who love you. Affirmative talk is not the sole solution, but it is part of a range of methods for boosting yourself and for taking out time to acknowledge that you do matter as much as every person around you. Prove to yourself that you matter. One of the problems with much advice on self-affirmation is that there is a sense that affirmations are in and of themselves magic. No, they're not. And that they are all that's needed to improve your sense of self. No, not so. If only that were so, it would be very easy to build self-worth. The reality is somewhat different. And while it's important to use positive self-speak, it is also important to act on your sense of self-worth. And this is achieved by recognizing and accepting responsibility. Responsibility is about owning up to the fact that you are in control of your attitude, your reactions, and your sense of worth. As Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." And that is the crux of poor self-worth. Letting other people and circumstances serve as a source of lowering your self-worth is going to keep you stuck. Responsibility also requires that you relinquish the need to use blame as a source of coping. Blame alleviates the need to look at yourself and to change your own behavior. While that seems like the easy option at times, it's also the one that will leave you stuck in time and stuck with your negative feelings. And worst of all, leaves you feeling helpless. For blame implies that someone or something else has the power that you lack. And if that isn't giving up, I don't know what is. Learn to act together with others and not be acted upon. I have to learn this for myself. Accept the responsibility for your circumstances. Yeah, I know, he lied to you, and he was gay, and he knew it, and he married you, and he never told you for 25 years, 30 years. Yeah. But make a decision to do something about it now. Even if others appear to stand in your way, you can work around them. Don't give up. Don't resign. Focus your energy on what you need to do to change the situation or the circumstances. Realize that other people have been wrapped up in the circumstances too and are not necessarily directing the outcome. Don't blame your parents, the government, your next door neighbors, your ex, your pastor, your friend. Don't blame anyone. What have they got to do with this, the perfectly well-formed thinking matter inside your head? They may have made things difficult for you, but you can understand that without using it as an excuse to reduce your self-worth. Avoid being a martyr. As a straight spouse, it's easy to try to be a martyr, but avoid being a martyr. The responsibility to move on as a strong, whole person rests with you. Work on your resilience. Resilient people have the emotional strength to get through life's difficulties without falling apart. I know that right now some of you feel like you're in a black hole and some of you feel like you're drowning. But this is not about belittling your hardship or your challenges of life. They are still very real. But it is about how you react and work your way through them. Let me say that again. This is not about belittling your hardships and the challenges of your life. They are very real. But this is about how you react and work your way through them. You always have a choice between demeaning yourself or always remembering your self-worth and staying firm in that regard. So heed opportunities. Opportunities present themselves in all sort of ways. Grasping them is altogether another matter, and not many of us are adept at doing that. Part of building self-worth is learning to recognize opportunities, however small, and working with them. Sometimes a great deal of patience will be called for. At other times, much self-restraint and downsizing of ambition might be needed. Whatever the case, take the opportunities life offers you and make the most of them because you deserve to do so. Budget. Oh, I better talk with great bosses about this budget. This should be a whole other topic by itself, but one day I'll get to that. But for now, whatever else you do with your money, have a budget. Then you will actually know what you're doing with your money. Self-worth is often closely tied to one's financial situation. All financial opportunities that come your way should be assessed with care and not simply ignored or retreated from. Retirement savings. For those of you who have been married for 30 years, 40 years to the escape person, I know you are in limbo, you don't know what to do. Retirement savings, investments, and savings in general are all things that will help ensure a sound life for you. And financial freedom allows you the space to build self-worth away from financial pressures or anything that your gate boss might do to you. So for those of you who are in a situation where he has money or there's money in the family, make sure that you get your fair share. Don't just wither and die and just let him take everything. Make sure that you get your fair share. Even though you don't think that you were working, you were. I call you a domestic technician if you were home all these years, taking care of the kids. Yes, you were working. Because if you were not doing that, he would not have been able to go out to make money. So yes, you are a domestic technician, and if you are a technician, that means you deserve to be paid. So let's make sure you get your fair share so that you can build your self-worth away from financial pressures. challenges. Oh, there are so many of them right now. But successful people tend to turn challenges into opportunities. Can you practice the thinking style too? Try it out on the smallest of things first and start changing your language by removing the negative words and using words that reflect a sense of purpose, direction, and focus. Don't go to the opposite extreme, though, and paint everything as rosy. My daughter said I do that, but I don't. It's just how I feel. I feel positive. I think in positive terms. I see things in bright colors instead of dark colors. Life still has its thorns and its tragedies, and that is needed. What is needed is a realistic appraisal followed by a determination to keep striving for better. Yes, never give up. You can always be better. You can always improve. Value yourself regardless of your job and your earnings. Oh, so many of us value ourselves according to what a boss says. No, don't do that. Value yourself regardless of your job and earnings. Undervaluing your worth in tangible terms is a self-worth trap. This step is about money, plain and simple. In societies that tend to value people by what they do rather than by who they are, there is a great risk of undervaluing your self-worth because it's tied up in earnings and job prestige. If you ever find yourself replying, oh, I'm just in reply to a question, so what do? You are suffering from a self-worth deficit. I was talking with a woman who did not identify as a straight spouse. When I asked her what kind of work she does, she answered, I'm just a person who works in the home. I looked at her and I said, oh, so you are a domestic technician? And she looked at me like I was crazy and said, no, I'm not trained enough for that. I looked her in the eye and I said, that is exactly who you are, and you are overqualified for that. Because mind you, during our conversation, she already had told me that she had a college degree, but was forced to be a stay-at-home mom by her husband. At least that got a smile out of her. So if you're working in the home and you feel like you're just a stay-at-home mom, I am telling you right now that you are a domestic technician. You are not just somebody who works in the home. You are a domestic technician. You can take that title for yourself, okay? And the next time you fill out an application for anything, make sure you do not just say stay-at-home mom or housewife. You are a domestic technician. And that encompasses so many things, okay? So just like that, baby, I hope you're smiling right now. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you have a new title. You're a domestic technician. You are not just anything. Remember that. You are you, a unique, valuable, and wonderful human being who matters. If you equate self-worth with doing something that is recognized by a monetary or socially discernible scale of wealth, and if you don't feel you meet that, then you can easily lose your self-worth. Feeling worn out and pulled in every which way? Is that how you're feeling right now? If you're feeling like that, please value your time. Alongside undervaluing yourself because of the job you have or the earnings you make, is that of how you spend your time. If you're performing volunteer or low-paid support work that eats up your time well beyond what you can afford, and you're neglecting other parts of your life, such as looking for a job, spending time with your family, or ensuring that your own life is running smoothly, then it's possible that you're caught up in competing value systems. The first value system is that which tells us we must volunteer or contribute community service to others more needy in society, because it is both noble and essential for our own sense of well-being. The second value system is that which rewards us for knowing our self-worth and for expecting good compensation for what we contribute to society. These two competing values create tension for many well-meaning people who want to give but find themselves caught up in the challenges called lack of time, lack of money, and a sense of inadequacy with all the juggling. Ultimately, if you are stressed out, feeling undervalued, and you are inadequately compensated, your balance of these two values has become skewed and has depleted your self-worth. Eventually, this will lead to one or more of the following: being sick, exploding and walking out for good, resenting the loss of your time, and or perpetuating an unhealthy balance that not only impacts you, but serves as a poor role model for your children, your friends, and others watching you. Because remember, those who know about your straight spouse situation, they are watching to see how you cope. They're watching to see how you handle it. So when you feel a need to downplay your talents and skills and give them away freely or at little cost, it's a wake-up call to take back your time and to start valuing yourself more. And believe me, I had to do that for me. I had to do that myself. I'm not just telling you, I had to do that myself. So evaluate the balance between the time you give away to others and how that time needs to be spent on your own life. No, you're not being selfish. You're being responsible. Could you be spending more time with your family and or friends, supportive, mature friends? If the answer is to that is yes, then realize that your wealth resides in keeping that time for you and those you love and reducing the amount of time you give away to others. It doesn't mean that you have to give up helping out completely, but you do need to put community service or commitments to helping others into perspective. Keep your self-worth sky high. Follow through. Maintain your focus on self-worth as an important part of what goes into making you whole. Make time on a regular basis to check on your progress in building your self-worth and be patient. It takes time to change negative self-talk and putting yourself last. It takes time to change that around. If your entire pattern of interacting with others has been based on effacing yourself as much as possible, it will take a lot of courage to make the changes needed, and there will be some people who will find the new, more assertive you more than a little confrontive. But so who cares? Who cares? Don't let that worry you, because it's about your journey, not theirs. And you are seeking to gain respect as you go, something that people pleasers rarely have. Break the habit of trying to please everyone all of the time. That is impossible. And even being a people pleaser will displease some people, particularly those with a high sense of self-worth who find such behavior cringeworthy. I'm guilty. I don't like, I call that butt kicking. You know, so don't be like that. Live in the present. Let me repeat that. Live in the present. The past has its lessons from which you have learned, I hope, but it's long gone. So leave it behind you. Step into the future. By living in the present, you can plot your way into a better and brighter future. Keep a notebook of your achievements. Every time you feel tempted to put yourself down and to bemoan that you're getting nowhere, make a cup of coffee if you drink coffee. Or grab your favorite drink and sit down comfortable and take out the book and read through it. Can you update it with a new achievement while you're there? Compete only with yourself, not with others. So for those of you who are listening to me and say, oh, she's a stressed out. Oh, I can't be like her. No, I don't want you to be like me. Be yourself. Work on your strength. You have many. You just have not been paying attention to them. Your husband, your gay husband, has been making you feel like a nothing. So you have not been paying attention to your strength. Remember the woman you were before you met him? Do you think that woman went away somewhere? No. She didn't go away. You just ignored her. So start paying attention to her now. Express your feelings instead of bottling them up. In doing so, respect the feelings of others, but don't be beholden to them. Yeah, I'm very outspoken. I am a tame woman, okay? I don't bottle my feelings. And sometimes I need to think before I speak, but so what? The truth is the truth. Yeah, you can hate me, but if you really look at what I say to you, you will see that she's speaking the truth. And even if you don't tell me later that you know you were right, I know you will get around to it. Yeah, so I practice self-love every day. Change happens to all of us. Yeah, it happened to me, so it can happen to you. We will experience physical and mental growth, personal experiences, and change in social situations that will affect our identity. Identity is a person's sense of placement in the world. You won't feel like a nothing anymore. Even though the gay thing happened to you, you will become vibrant and willful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As a straight spouse, I want you to get in the moment with me, because I want you to to know that your identity is your response and your sense of placement in this world. That which tethers you to your self-worth. Our identity can easily be overinflated when our self-worth is miscalculated. But it is healthy to remember, as we mature and circumstances change, that we are not bound to how other people evaluate us. As a straight spouse, your spouse being gay does not devalue you as a person. Their deception may, however, help to lower your view of yourself. But at this moment, I'm begging you to start taking that back. People with poor self-worth are easily drawn to bad relationships. So please, don't pick up a new one right now. Because you will just go into a relationship with somebody who will just worsen your self-image. Such relationships may be verbally or physically abusive also, as well as involve a high level of infidelity. You don't want to get another partner who may also take advantage of you simply because they care. So people with poor self-worth may not believe that they deserve better and seek out people who reinforce their poor image of themselves. Don't be that person. Be careful if you find that you're prone to lessen your own value. Be careful. And for those of you who pray, I'm encouraging you to pray. Don't stop praying. Because no matter what you go through, our Heavenly Father never leaves us alone. And I just want to tell you that I'm so thankful that you were able to join me for this program. Thank you. And be blessed. Be blessed.
You have been listening to Straight Spouse Awareness with South Florida Connects. Your host was Debbie Thomas Brown, the president and founder of South Florida Connects. Thank you for tuning in. Please be advised that South Florida Connects does not give advice. We provide general information and straight spouse awareness peer support. Subject matters discussed on this radio program are for informational purposes only. We believe in education and empowerment, so we will share information we deem important with you. If you have a situation that matches anything we discussed, please seek the appropriate professional. We do not make on-air recommendations, but if you send an email to sfconnects@gmail.com or leave a detailed message with contact information on our Straight Spouse Support Hotline at 954-983-9751, we will provide a means for you to connect with an appropriate Straight Spouse Awareness professional. We hope that information given here on this radio program will help you become more aware of your circumstances and propel you to get the help that you need for yourself and your family. We are a community, and whatever each one of us can do to contribute to the improvement and betterment of all, we should do so in a spirit of giving and sharing. Visit our website at southfloridaconnects.com for more information on Faith Spouse Awareness. If you have questions or have a topic that you would like to hear discussed, you can send us an email at sfconnects@gmail.com or leave us a message at 954-983-9751. May God continue to cover you with His guidance and care. There is nothing you'll face today, this week, this month, or this year that the Lord can't bring you through. I am praying that the peace of God will flood your soul and send any fears holding you back running so that the vision the Lord has given you will come to pass. Thank God for what you have. And always remember to trust God for what you need. Thank you for joining South Florida Connects for Straight Spouse Awareness. Be blessed, my Straight Spouse brothers and sisters.
Nice.
Thanks.
Let's go. One. Open, I can find a